I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. The only announcement that I wish to make this evening is with respect to the new Transit Advisory Committee that the council has established. And we are seeking municipal representatives on the committee. In particular, we would like to have two regular users of Fort Erie Transit, conventional services, one regular user of the Fort Erie Specialized Transit or FAST service, one post-secondary student who is a regular user of the Intermunicipal Transit, and up to two other community members at large. So that's a total of six vacancies for that committee. If anyone wishes additional information, they can go to the town's website and look under Government, Boards, and Committees. And we will be accepting submissions in the clerk's office until Thursday, February the 9th at 4 p.m. You can email the clerk as well. That's Bubanko, L-B-U-B-A-N-K-O, spelled just like it sounds, at forterie.ca. Or if you go to the website, you'll be able to get the clerk's email address. Or you can deliver the your application or mail your application to the town of Fort Erie, One Municipal Center Drive, Fort Erie, Ontario, L2A, 2S6. And if you wish to call the town of Fort Erie to get some background information before you submit an application, you can call the town of Fort Erie and ask for Cheryl Watson at extension 2212, or her email is cwatson@forterie.ca, Watson, W-A-T-S-O-N. So hopefully we'll get a good cross-section of individuals for that committee, which is very important because we're in the process of pretty much quadrupling our investment in public transit in Fort Erie over the next 3 years. There is an addendum with respect to this evening's meeting. Actually, there are two. The first relates to the consideration of a bylaw, and that is to amend the fees and charges, bylaw number 40-09, as a result of the review and the comments that we received last week at council and committee. That will be bylaw number 16 for 2017. We also have a request for an additional delegation. Council will be asked to move to permit Mark Wilkie to speak on behalf of the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230 with respect to a request for some funding for Canada's 150th celebration on July the 1st of this year. And also related to that, under new business and inquiries, is an item regarding that request for funding. So, there are no further announcements. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest this evening? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I wonder if I can get clarification from the clerk, though. I believe I still have a conflict of interest for the closed session with respect to land matters, since relatives were the ones that brought that up in the first place, although there is no interest going forward.
Ordinarily, Councillor, you would determine yourself whether you have a conflict. If you feel that you should declare one, you should declare one. My views on this may not be of assistance to you and really should be guided by your own conscience. And if you want to get out of here early, you could always declare the conflict.
Okay, I'm going to declare that conflict. Thank you.
I'm sure it was that last comment that that persuaded you. Crystal clear. Crystal clear. Any other declarations of pecuniary interest? If not, there are a number of public meetings that are forthcoming relative to the 2017 budget meeting schedule. We have one more regularly scheduled budget meeting, and that is this Wednesday, January the 25th, relative to the general levy operating budget and assessment analysis. If a further meeting is required, for any of the budget material that we've received this year. It will be held on the following Wednesday, February the 1st, 2017. Those meetings are all held here in the Town Hall Council Chambers at 6 o'clock. And the bylaw for water and wastewater budget and rates is being considered this evening. The bylaw with respect to the general levy budget is scheduled to be dealt with by this council at the meeting of February 27th, 2017. There's a public meeting with respect to the rezoning of property at 4099 Niagara Parkway, and that's scheduled for Monday, February the 6th, 2017 at 6 o'clock at the Town Hall in the Council Chambers. The information report with respect to that application will be available to the public on first. There's an information open house with respect to the South End Secondary Plan, and that is Thursday, February the 2nd from 5 to 7 p.m. at Douglas Heights Senior Center at 265 High Street in Fort Erie. That then takes us to the Regional Council Report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Thank you, Your Worship, members of Council, members in the audience. I'll be brief. There is some good news coming out of the region, and I'm grateful to share it with Council this evening. Specifically, we'll start with our water and wastewater budget that we've just completed. So for 2016, water and wastewater came in at minus 0.24%. This year, water and wastewater is going to come in at plus 0.8%. What 0.8% represents is $871,000 for 2017. That's for the entire region. If you want to do the breakout, $871,000, considering that the town of Fort Erie represents roughly 7%, considering of that 7%, there's about 15,000 households, it works out to roughly about $3 per year for the average household. So that's what the increase from the regional perspective is for water and wastewater. For garbage and waste collection, 2016 we came in at minus 1.45%. This year we came in at minus 1.2%. So again, a reduction. And again, I think that's impacted certainly by the programs that we put in place with respect to recycling initiatives and the sale of those recycled items. So again, putting that money back into reducing the burden on residents and property tax payers, 2017 minus 1.2%. Specifically, some great news respecting the Canada Summer Games 2021. Council did ratify a preliminary budget with respect to contributions that the region will be making. Why is this good news? Well, as an old athlete, I'm a firm believer that sports certainly has the ability to transcend those boundaries. From an economic perspective, I'm absolutely thrilled. So where most people will see that the bottom line as far as what the contribution of the region is, we can certainly look at the economic benefits of that. And certainly we believe it's going to be a huge economic generator for the region, specifically for the town of Fort Erie. I think it's wonderful news because as we put those MOUs in place with with municipalities and with private sector, the Buffalo Canoe Club is going to have one of those MOUs put in place, and it's going to be a huge, huge attraction, part of the Canada Summer 21 Games, especially with the investments that we're making down with Bay Beach and that initiative hopefully will be ready to go and expose not only Canada but the world to Crystal Beach and certainly Bay Beach as they take in those games at the Canoe Club. Again, 2021, the next step is to formalize the submission. We believe it's down to three municipalities right now, Ottawa being one of them. We believe the region of Waterloo is the other one, and certainly Niagara is in the running. So hopefully we can be successful, and we're inviting the bid committee down sometime in March, and we will keep this council and certainly the rest of the town of Fort Erie apprised of those developments. We did ratify the Waterfront Investment Fund. As you know, this council, through its hard work and certainly the hard work of staff, were successful. In last year's Waterfront Investment Fund, We did tweak the language just a little bit with respect to the scoring matrix as far as what what constitutes a successful application. Not a lot of difference, but we did put language in there. Certainly that's going to strengthen the program. That was ratified, so again, there's $1 million fund in that pool right now for waterfront investment. And again, understanding that the threshold now is $1 million, whereas in the previous years, there was opportunity to tap into smaller asks. I think the whole goal is to make sure that you get most bang for your buck, and that's why they've capped that threshold at $1 million. So they're looking for some great dramatic projects along regional waterfronts. But there is still a great opportunity for the town of Fort Erie and certainly other municipalities to tap into smaller funds, specifically public realms and investment in culture. So just because there's $1 million threshold for waterfront investment fund, that doesn't mean that there's not funding sources at the region that BIAs, certainly the non-for-profit sector, certainly this council can tap into. And I'm hoping as we go forward with the great work that the town is doing with the 150 anniversary, there's going to be some opportunity there to certainly look at those investment vehicles. I had the great pleasure to attend the Italian fundraiser with the mayor, and it was great to see all these.
Don't forget to mention my Italian heritage.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So it was hosted by Club Roma in Niagara Falls, and it was a great opportunity to bring together all the Italian clubs throughout the region. And we certainly had an Italian representation from Mississauga, and I believe one from Western New York as well. The Italian consulate general was there as well, and it was a great opportunity to raise funds for earthquake victims. What makes this fundraiser a whole lot different from other fundraisers is every dollar that's raised is going specifically to those that were impacted to the earthquakes in Italy. And it was just a fantastic event. So congratulations to all the Italian clubs, and certainly the ETIL Canadian Club here in the town of Fort Erie played a large role in that as well. Another great initiative that I'm very, very happy to report is the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. Maybe we have curling fans here, maybe we don't have curling fans, but the Scotties Tournament of Hearts will be coming to St. Catharines, and it is a huge, huge tournament. So all the eyes of Canada will be on the Niagara region. TSN will be round-the-clock broadcasting, and it's a great opportunity to really expose Niagara to the rest of Canada. I know having spent time out west, curling is absolutely huge out there. So I'm looking forward to that as another economic generator for certainly the region, and hopefully we can tap into some of that that traffic. Moving forward, we continue to develop economic strategies. I've been involved in a lot of strategy meetings going forward. Again, we're trying to see where does the town of Fort Erie and certainly the region fit into the FTZ. There's some great opportunities coming in, especially with the new administration coming into the United States, and certainly how can we leverage some of the policies that are coming down to benefit Canada, benefit Ontario, benefit Niagara, and certainly benefit Fort Erie. Again, I will keep this council apprised as those economic opportunities come forward, and we have some fantastic initiatives coming, so I'm anxious to share those with you. I'll open it up to questions or comments, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. I thought you said brief.
What's that?
Look, there was one other comment about the Italo-Canadian groups getting together. I believe there are 11 in the region, and the significance as well is that they've now all agreed to work together to raise funds for these types of disasters that occur. And that's the first time this has ever happened, and they've incorporated an organization. So great collaboration, which is really wonderful because there's a significant Italian heritage in Niagara. Any members of council have any questions of Councillor Nunziata? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Sandy. I am going to ask you some questions with respect to the Niagara Transit Service Delivery and Government Strategy, the executive summary that we received. And I'm wondering if you can speak about that.
As soon as you got that report, Councillor, I made sure I passed it on to Council and our staff here at the town. Basically, what that strategy, that paper suggests is we're not quite there yet as far as making recommendations to Regional Council. There's still some work to do. The great news is that it's moving forward. This past week, and thank you for bringing my attention because I missed this point, We have extended the contract for that service provider for another 20 months. And I remember at the beginning of the tour, at the beginning of this term, there was a lot of angst with respect to the region possibly pulling out of that funding agreement and continuing with that program. I'm thrilled to say that we've extended it another 20 months as we work through the process. I wish I had more information to share with you other than the report that I received as well. The great news going forward, you still have three transit providers, Niagara Falls, Welland, and St. Catharines, working collaboratively together. And it's an incredible thing to see the transit community come together in order to develop a truly intermunicipal regional transit system. So hopefully this whole process will boil some strong recommendations to regional council to move forward with, and I'll keep this council apprised of what those are.
Sir Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have some specific questions with respect to this executive summary, so I'm wondering if it might be best to ask you, and if you don't have the answer, I can email those questions to you so that you can do some research for
Absolutely.
Us and get back to us.
Yeah.
Okay. So during the, or inside this report, it says that there is going to be a cost associated to the municipalities with respect to a TripLinks platform. And I wondered if you could explain what that TripLinks platform would mean to our constituents.
I wish I had the answer for you. You know what? I'm probably going to take this as a very collaborative approach because I know that Councillor Nutt and the Mayor sit on the Transportation Steering Committee, and as well, Your Worship sits on Public Works, which certainly will have that information coming forward. So in an effort to be collaborative and inclusive, we're going to work together and get you those answers. But by all means, email them, and I'll get them to this council as quickly as I can.
Can I suggest, Councillor Butler, when you send out those questions that you do copy all members of council, and Councillor Nunziata is quite correct. I sit on the Transportation Steering Committee and was in attendance when this report was, at least the preliminaries to the report were provided to the Transportation Steering Committee, and I had some issues, so it would be interesting to see how similar your concerns might be to mine.
There are three concerns that I have, and one is that the TripLinks itself is guided towards the Hamilton GTA area and really doesn't affect the Niagara Peninsula yet. We're going to be asked to pay for that. So that's okay. The next meeting is February 28th. Is
Transportation Steering Committee,
yeah,
February 20th.
Yeah. The other thing that I noticed in this report is that really we're kind of being left out of the loop as a smaller municipality, and I'm just wondering if we're going to be paying towards a consolidated transit model, then it would make sense to have us be included in those talks and see where we can fit in best and relay it. Right now I just see a connection towards the post-secondary education. I don't see any loops that are well-rounded or more fulsome, I suppose so. But I will put those questions in an email and I'll send them to you.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, I share your concern. I think it's imperative that we put a plan in place that certainly addresses and respects our mobile labor force. And going forward, I hope we get those answers for you.
Thank you very much.
I would say, I think one of the, from my perspective, one of the bigger concerns is that going forward, the region is anticipating objections for intermunicipal transit use that I don't think really accurately reflect the demand in Fort Erie for that service. And they're tilting that, as you say, heavily towards the west of Niagara as opposed to here. And the links here need to not only be to Niagara Falls and St. Catharines, but also Port Colborne and Welland. So, sure.
I just had one question for clarification, and I saw something with respect to the numbers, and they were talking about a Crystal Beach dynamic service. What does that mean?
That, I believe, is a service they were talking about that would go west towards Port Colborne, and it would be not a necessarily regular transit type service. They're still working on that type of model, and I must say that there's a lot of balls up in the air here with respect to this. So we're moving forward, and as Councillor Nunziata did say, there has been a commitment by Regional Council to at least fund the intermunicipal portion, which is a benefit to us and was a great concern to our ridership for 20 months. Was it 20 months? Yeah. Okay, any further questions of Councillor Annunziata? If not, then I should have looked at page 2 of the announcements regarding the Transit Advisory Committee, because there are also some other committees that the Town of Fort Erie is looking for applications to sit on the committees. One is the Accessibility Advisory Committee. There's one vacancy there for a person with disabilities. 4 vacancies on the Communities in Bloom Committee. 1 vacancy on the Community Gaming and Development Corporation. 1 vacancy on the Fort Erie Public Library Board. A number of vacancies on the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee. 1 vacancy on the Museum and Cultural Heritage Advisory Committee. And a number of vacancies on Senior Citizens Advisory Committees and subcommittees. So again, if anyone is interested, you can make your application to the town through our website or by email to the clerk, or contacting Ms. Watson, the legislative assistant. I won't repeat the information I gave on that. That takes us then to our presentations and then delegations. And before we move into a formal delegation, there is a resolution to request that Mark Wilkie be permitted to address council with respect to the request for funding. Councillor Lubert, you have that resolution?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redick. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that council permits the urgent delegation of Mark Wilkie, Royal Canadian Legion, Branch 230, regarding a funding request for Canada 150 celebration on July 1st, 2017.
Are there any questions or comments about that? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Okay, so then that takes us to presentations and delegations, the first of which is Mr. Phil Smith from Crystal Beach with respect to Crystal Beach Community Improvement Plan. Good evening, Mr. Smith.
Sorry about that, technical difficulties. Good evening, Mayor Redekop and Council. Thanks for allowing me this opportunity to come and speak before you here this evening. Up one, I thought it was. Oh, there it is, very bottom. Okay. Tonight I'm here to speak about Crystal Beach, and more specifically the need for a Crystal Beach Community Improvement Plan. First, to set the table, despite my boyish looks, I've been in real estate for 21 years now. In that time, I've witnessed an amazing residential rejuvenation of the Crystal Beach area. Each year seems to have improved bit by bit. Slowly people have bought former cottages and fixed them up. Slowly people have started to move back and live longer periods of time throughout the year. Prices slowly began to rise and rise, which has only fueled more growth on the residential side of things, culminating in the last couple of years, which has seen property values increase on average of 20% in 2016 alone. As the realtor for Mars Homes South Coast Village Development, I'm very pleased to say that every available unit is spoken for. I'm happy to say that we have a number of local buyers in addition to a number of buyers new to the area. These are folks that in large numbers are moving to the area from areas like Burlington and Oakville to take advantage of the wonderful amenities that we enjoy here in the town of Fort Erie, as well as all the geographic advantages we have with relation to proximity to airports, sports, shopping, border crossings, etc., while at the same time enjoying the small town vibe and social atmosphere that our town offers. I'm also pleased to say that over 75% of the new owners intend to live in their new homes year-round. These are folks that in many cases have looked all over southern Ontario for a place to call home and have chosen to move to Crystal Beach and Fort Erie. I'm also proud to say that these types of buyers are not limited to just South Coast Village. There are at least 12 new infill homes being built in Crystal Beach at this very moment. I think in my first 15 years of real estate, there may have been 10 total. I'm very thrilled to report that this is happening all throughout Fort Erie as well, but tonight I'm just here to talk about Crystal Beach. That leads us to the natural progression to a community's residential rejuvenation, which of course is commercial rejuvenation. I'd like to take this opportunity to show you a slide that I put together showing some of the commercial activity in Crystal Beach. I'll go quick because I know I have 10 minutes and the clock is ticking. So how do I? So I'm just going to go through a couple of buildings that are sort of before and after, just to show you what has been done. That was an empty building for years and years. Now is Nye's Chocolate in the summertime. That was the apartment above it before and after. This is the Hot Dog Alley, Derby Road, an after picture. South Coast Cookhouse. That's a building that was empty for 20 years. Some may remember it as Louis Small Fry back in the day. This is a building that we just completed. This is the way it looked a year ago today. And this is what it looks like now. We have a couple new businesses that have moved in. Some before and after shots of what's going on down there and what I'm working towards. This is a new banquet room and work done. These are some apartments before and after that were empty again for years and years, and now they've been able to finish them off and attract some wonderful tenants. Try to breeze through here quickly. But, you know, the before and afters when they're side by side are quite striking. That's why I wanted to sort of visually show everyone. Another new business has moved in. Some afters. This is a building we did a few years ago. Now houses where my office is, Royal LePage. What you can see there, these were buildings that had no foundations and no nothing. Put them back together. Before and after. This brings me to one that you know, I haven't quite gotten to yet. Here's another one I haven't quite gotten to yet. But this picture here I think is pretty striking because it really shows, you know, that things are headed in the right direction. These are all properties that I've renovated and own in the Crystal Beach area, specifically Derby and Erie. In many cases, I've taken buildings that have been empty for 10, 20, 30 years in some cases and breathed new life into them. The buildings that I've renovated currently are home to at least 10 businesses that employ over 35 people to some extent, including Tangled Hair Salon, The Little Spa, Royal LePage, Yoga Joy, Planks, Coach House, CrossFit, South Coast Cookhouse, and Nye Sweet Spot. In addition to at least 8 apartments that are now lived in, for the most part, by younger professional type tenants, many of whom are employed in the businesses that I mentioned. I'm very proud of the progress that's been made. I'm very happy to see life taking shape in the area to the point where parking is becoming more and more of a problem, but a good problem in some respects, and we can talk about that another day. The town of Fort Erie, together with the region of Niagara, put together an incentive grant program through community improvement plans, which has been successfully rolled out in Ridgeway and Jarvis Street with awesome and very encouraging results, and recently has been implemented in Stevensville and is soon to be in the South End Riverwalk. It's a tremendous program, a program that provides additional incentives and funds to encourage property owners to enhance, restore, renovate storefronts and acknowledges the importance of housing density in a commercial area and the role that can play in a community's rebirth. Ridgeway is truly a beautiful downtown, and Jarvis has made incredible strides recently in the thanks to the championing of folks like Katie Miller, which leads me back to Crystal Beach. We do not have a CIP in Crystal Beach. Although we are in the town of Fort Erie and pay taxes in the town of Fort Erie and get permits from the town of Fort Erie, unfortunately all commercial redevelopment in the town of Fort Erie is not equal. The building I just completed successfully over the course of 2 years and approximately 5 building permits, which I showed on the slides, has been empty for a generation. It had no foundation, antiquated water and sewer to the building, structurally unsafe, no wiring, no nothing really, a blight on the street. It's now done in full life. There are 3 new storefronts and 3 apartments, as well as a new banquet room for South Coast. The lights are on, there is life, there are young business people with new businesses. Much thought, time, stress, effort, and quite frankly, tears when I looked at my bank account were put into the smallest details of this project to make it look really great. Classic and vibrant colors were used to give a historic and vintage type look. I'm very proud of it, but it wasn't without a lot of stress and questioning myself, what had I gotten myself into, and of course money. I'm fortunate enough to have people who believe in me and invest the capital in me to follow this dream that I have. But I'm no one. I'm not a big developer with deep pockets. I have to look at each project case by case and do them one at a time organically. But I carry on because I believe what it is I'm doing, and have been bolstered by the encouragement from family, friends, clients, and local townspeople. The part that is particularly frustrating to me, though, is if I had done this project in Ridgeway, a couple of kilometers up the road, or Jarvis or Stevensville, I would have been eligible for $50,000 in grants to help me carry out this project. But because I was in Crystal Beach, I was entitled to zero. Nothing. Not a dime. Now, Mayor and Council, I'm not asking for special treatment for myself and business people like me interested in doing things in Crystal Beach. I'm merely looking for a level playing field with the other communities in the town of Fort Erie, and I'm looking for them as soon as possible, especially with Councilor Nunziata's announcement with the Ontario Games coming to Bay Beach potentially. Now, in order for a community improvement plan to be implemented, a secondary plan first has to be completed. I understand that a secondary plan CIP is currently being completed in the South End Riverwalk, and I understand that according to the minutes of a council meeting from April 7, 2015, dealing with report CDS 26-2015, that town staff had recommended that the town commence a Crystal Beach secondary plan after completion of this South End secondary plan. It appears, however, as though a motion had been made to revise the order to put the Bridgeburg urban expansion area ahead of Crystal Beach. In Appendix 5 of that same report with regards to the Crystal Beach secondary plan, it states, staff would like to see this secondary plan elevated on the list to be initiated following or generally following the conclusion of the Bay Beach Master Plan and the Regional Waterfront Strategy, with a CIP implemented subsequent to the secondary plan's conclusion. Additionally, in the Bay Beach Master Plan, the town's own consultant recommended that a Crystal Beach secondary plan would be a natural fit to dovetail with the Bay Beach Master Plan as a way to continue the momentum that the Bay Beach Master Plan will create. It's an awesome plan, and many are excited to see it implemented, and kudos to the town for getting it done. A secondary plan seems to be the next logical step, and the timing is great. In fact, the report seems to establish precedent for commencing a Crystal Beach secondary plan upon nearing completion of the South End Riverwalk plan. Lastly, the very nature of a community improvement plan is when a town or region or both identify areas in need of improvement, enhancement, and investment, and then works to provide incentives for building owners to improve their storefronts and buildings, building owners and business owners to improve their storefronts and buildings, to create apartments, and to create density for the greater good of a community identified as one needing these things. Every town and region study and report that I've seen identifies Crystal Beach as an area desperately needed these improvements. The reason that CIPs exist, in my estimation, are because towns and regions take into account the impact commercial development can have on a community, and an impact that can become infectious and becomes building blocks for continued improvement and investment. These programs are put in place in hopes that they will attract investment and improvement. Oftentimes, history has shown that these programs are even sometimes underutilized, and the funds set aside often go unused. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that you don't need to put a CIP in place in Crystal Beach in hopes of attracting investments and investors. We're here. We're coming to you. We're saying that we're ready, willing, and able to continue to improve our community, to continue to enhance the quality of life, to continue to attract new residents and businesses, but we need your help. I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are a number of projects that I'm personally involved with that can almost immediately move forward with the help of a secondary plan and CIP. Let's advance the Crystal Beach Secondary Plan and Community Improvement Plan. The timing couldn't be better. The sooner we start with the studies, the plans, and the consultations, and all the hard work that the town will need to do to implement such a plan, the sooner we can move forward and continue to revitalize a community that we all love in Crystal Beach into something that every resident of Fort Erie can enjoy and be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith, and very much appreciate the investment that you've made in your neighborhood. Do any members of council have any questions of Mr. Smith? Councillor Lubritz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Phil, thank you very much for coming forward tonight. And I just wanted to comment on, you made a comment earlier about the, if there were a community improvement plan that you could have tapped into, say, $50,000 in grant money. But of total, how much money has been invested in just the downtown core area in Crystal Beach outside of the facades? I mean, inside buildings, outside buildings.
Of the buildings
maybe
that
yourself
I've done?
And others included.
Well, I can't speak to others, but you know, I know for myself, I'm you know, it's a substantial amount of money. You know, it's got to be at least a couple million dollars, I'm sure. I'll have to check my mortgage statements, but it's up there.
All right, thank you very much. I just wanted to know, because I think it's important that we know that the amount of money that's being invested down there, and I know it's a small area, and it might be going unnoticed, but I notice it myself, and I think it's important that we try to do something to speed up secondary plan and a CIP for Crystal Beach, and hopefully after seeing your slides here and seeing what you're doing down there, maybe we can convince staff and council to move forward in a more expedient manner. Thanks.
Any other members of council? Mr. Smith, I can advise you that we did receive a copy of a letter sent to Mr. Brady by Mike Hopper, who has an interest in doing some work at 34 Queens Circle. You're probably familiar with him. That has been circulated to members of council as well. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
The second delegation is Barb Vanderheiden and the counselor to my far right, also known as Counselor Passero. Good evening. Is it necessary for us to return the prize that we keep winning year after year prior to the tournament?
No. We. Your Worship, you possibly win it again?
We're hoping that we're. That's the plan, so we can just keep it right here.
Wonderful. I'm going to put our this year's mascot up here. Our flyer. Good evening, Mayor Redicott, councillors, Town of Fort Erie staff, community members, and guests. I am Barb Vanderheiden, Executive Director of Big Brothers Big Sisters of South Niagara, and with me tonight is a face very familiar to you all, one of our board members, Stephen Passero, who will speak to you shortly. We thank you for allowing us the opportunity to speak briefly to you tonight regarding our Tim Hortons Bowl for Kids 8 campaign, which runs Wednesday, March the 4th through to Saturday, March the 11th this year. For this year's theme, all Big Brothers Big Sisters agencies within Ontario, which are 46 of them, are highlighting our country's 150th celebration by making our theme Canada's 150th birthday celebration. Big Brothers Big Sisters has been providing children in Canada with mentoring services for well over 100 years now, and our agency since April 1964. As a result of listening to community needs, in addition to our main community-based traditional one-to-one program, as well as our Big for a Day program, which supports the children that are on the wait list for a once-a-month outing, we now offer within the Greater Fort Erie communities site-based mentoring programs within the schools, such as one-to-one group programming, including Go Girls, Game On, Stepping Stones, and after-school programming. With no secure yearly funding, in spite of the support we've received yearly from United Way agencies, we're required to raise approximately 75% of our annual budget. For 16-17 is almost $410,000 through donors, sponsorships, grants, and third-party events. Bowl for Kids' Sake is our largest annual fundraiser, and this year's goal is $45,000. At this time, I ask Stephen to say a few words.
Thank you, Barb. I noticed Barb said familiar face, not pretty face. We argued on the wording, but she won.
Thought she meant the mascot.
That too. I first participated in the Tim Hortons Bowl for Kids' Sake in 2010, my first year on council, and since that time have become a member of the board and am now actively involved in the organization of the event. So not only do I enjoy participating, but it's great to see it from the other side as well and encouraging others to participate. Events, as Barb mentioned, are taking place throughout Niagara and across the country as this is a national fundraising effort. Teams of 4 to 6 people raise a combined $200 or more in pledges. Bowl 2 games have a lot of fun. There's a 50-50 draws and prizes for the best dressed team. As Barb mentioned, this year Canada 150. So wear bright red pants, wear a flag. If you wear a flag, make sure you wear pants. We do have some rules. And it's taking place at Carroll's Bowling Lanes at 7 Clouk Street. And I'd like to send a personal thank you to Larry Carroll for his many years of support to Big Brothers Big Sisters Bowl for Kids' Sake. There's also a cash bar, so if you're like me and need something to blame for all your balls going in the gutter, it's open. In addition to the teams that we put together of 4 to 6 on the Saturday, the 11th in March, there are two time slots, 4:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. But earlier in the week, we also have schools participating, at Tim Hortons Staff Night, which is always well-received. They do a tremendous job, and we'd like to thank Rick Strom and his great team for not only their support of the event, but also for their pledges that they bring in. They really do put their money where their mouth is as a sponsor, and we really do appreciate it. So we're here tonight looking for two things. We're looking for sponsors of prizes and of dollars, and we're also looking for people to take up the challenge of becoming a captain, putting in teams of 4 to 6 people, getting those friends together, coming out, have a great time, and helping an organization that provides many amazing mentoring and programming opportunities for kids in Fort Erie. I will be organizing the council team this year, as I did last year, and I'd like to thank Rick Brady for accepting the challenge of organizing a staff team. The side bets have already started. Mr. Brady trash-talked me on my way into council chambers tonight. So we'd like to thank everybody in advance for their participation. We're looking forward to retaining the trophy that sits behind His Worship Mayor Redekop for another year. We definitely don't want to give that back. And I'll turn the podium back to Barb for some closing comments. Thank you for your time.
In closing, a reminder, our agency's Bowl for Kids' Sake Mayor's Trophy. It's up for grabs again. So why not bring it back to the town of Fort Erie for the fourth year in a row? We encourage Mayor Redekop, council staff, and families of the town of Fort Erie to join us Saturday, March the 11th at Carroll's Bowling Lanes in Fort Erie to participate. Come dressed as a Canadian icon, a Mountie, beaver, moose, Tim Hortons coffee, anything that signifies Canada to you. And I look forward to seeing the council costumes, because last year they were very creative and very entertaining. Gather a minimum of $200 in pledges per team. Come bowl to support the children we provide mentoring programs to within the greater Fort Erie communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, both of you. And this is certainly something that's on the calendar for all of us, and those that can make it will be there, and we will strive, I'm sure, to retain that trophy, which is now a point of pride for us. It's a great organization that the two of you represent, and wonderful work in our communities in Niagara, so thank you for that. Do any members of council have any questions of either Ms. Vanderheiden or Councillor Passero? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Your Honor, and I will leave you some captain's packages here.
Sure.
And also email them to the clerk so she will have them.
Yes, and good luck this year with the campaign.
Thank you so very much, and I look forward to seeing you all in your costumes.
Your Worship, yes. If I could just add, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention somebody who's not with us tonight, but past Councillor Darlene Haslett has just stepped down from the Big Brothers Big Sister Board after many, many, many years of service. She continues to volunteer with the organization. I know that this event has always been a passion of hers, so she's just newly off the board and not with us tonight, but I know she's here tonight in spirit and will definitely be getting her family together to participate. So thank you to Darlene for her many years of service.
Thank you. That then takes us to our final delegation. That's Mark Wilkie on behalf of the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230. Good evening.
Good evening.
Remember what I said?
I said a lot shorter. Good evening, Mayor Redekop, members of council and town staff. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak before you this evening. As chair of Branch 30's Canada 150 celebrations, which is taking place on the weekend of June 30th to July 2nd, I'd like to give you a brief recap of the details of what will take place. The Canada 150 celebration will work in conjunction with the Ridgeway Legion Branch 30 and the Ridgeway BIA Summer Festival, which starts on Friday evening, June 30th, and runs throughout the weekend. Our Canada 150 celebration, as far as we know, is the only official celebration occurring in the Fort Erie, honoring Canada's anniversary of Confederation, and will consist of numerous heritage art displays, working in concert with the heritage art legacy of Fort Erie, and a celebration parade on Saturday, July 1st, in which I've already sent invitations out to your worship and town council. The heritage display will also last throughout the weekend and will be located on the grounds of Branch 230. The parade will start on Saturday, July 1st at 11 a.m. and last for approximately 1 hour. As this is the only official Canada 150 celebration within Fort Erie, we reach out to all service clubs, businesses to be included as sponsors, volunteers, or parade participants. Additionally, we have sent out application forms to groups throughout Ontario and Western New York seeking their participation in the parade and heritage displays. We have also been advertising on several Facebook pages, Canada 150, where it all began, Ridgeway Legion's event page, and our own site at the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 30. We also established a robust marketing plan, including t-shirts, hats, print and social media communications. So far, our executive has established a budget of $8,000 for the parade. To support the budget, we reached out for grant opportunities and established sponsorship levels of gold, silver, and bronze, different denominations. We have currently secured a $1,000 grant thus far. As Fort Erie's only Canada 150 celebration, we're seeking the town from the town, the grant of $3,000 will assist us with seeking a matching grant from the Niagara Community Foundation. And in addition to this, what I had to say here, I'd have a little short video, which I've been promoting all through the different websites. We'll play now. Thank you. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Very well done. Thank you very much, Mr. Wilkie. Are there any members of council have any questions? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Not any questions, just a couple of comments. Well done presentation, by the way. And I am in full support of seeing this through for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Good to see you, Mark. What is the route that's planned?
Pardon?
What is the parade route?
We've been in discussion. We have a preliminary route, and we've had several meetings, and staff member Al Stolfer has attended them, and we've been working out the details. I didn't want to get back. We're going to plan with him, with emergency service, et cetera, in the future. But we just want to get this far and work from there. But we've had several meetings with our committee. We had about 25 different members of the community out for our last committee. And we're really pushing the point that I've been seeing a lot of things on Facebook. This is Ridgeway's Parade. Nice coming back. No, we're Fort Erie. We're all Fort Erie. So that's what we're participating with, the town of Fort Erie. And Mr. Stouffer has been a good supporter of this effort so far. So we're working with everybody in town and all the service clubs and businesses too.
Okay. No, excellent. I've seen your stakeholder reach out to various groups. So job well done so far, and we'll await further details.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Mark, thank you very much for coming forward. I have a resolution here to include your request in our council deliberations. And I am the same as Councillor Butler, support it. And so when it comes forward for deliberations, I'll give you two thumbs up instead of one. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other councillors? Councillor Lubritz has said that we do have an item under new business with respect to this, and that will be coming up shortly. Depending on how many questions councillors ask, we may get to that sooner rather than later. But if you're interested in knowing what's going to happen, I would stick around because I think we'll go through much of the agenda relatively quickly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That then takes us to the consent agenda, and there are two items in that. Sorry, there are many items in the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed before we move to put the agenda on the floor? There being none, then Councillor McDermott, would you move the resolution to put these items on the floor?
Yes, Your Worship, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, the Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. So that takes us to reports. And Councillor Zanko, you have a resolution with respect to the first report.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council includes incremental funding to expand a current part-time position to a full-time position in employment services in the 2017 operating budget.
Any questions or comments with respect to the report? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just had a couple of questions with respect to the report, and I'm wondering if the chair from Corporate Services would be able to answer that or not.
Good.
Thanks. So I do know that the position for the health and safety is a part-time position. Did they have any inclination to make that a full-time position and include a full-time position for employment services?
Sorry, the chair of the committee.
Yeah.
Sorry, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I actually was going to defer this question to Mr. Jansen. He can better explain it.
Sorry. It's just taking a long time to get there. We'll pass that through Councillor Zanko and then Councillor Passero. Mr. Jansen.
Through you, Mayor, to Councillor Butler. The expectation or the proposal was to move the current funded part-time position of approximately 50% or 60% of a full-time into a full-time position. I'm not sure what you were asking beyond that. I know there was an alternative in the report that did suggest it could be two part-time positions as well, but that the recommended item was for one full-time position.
Thank you. It's just that I know that the health and safety position is very demanding, especially when you're trying to work with rate groups and you're working with unions and you're trying to find about return to work situations for injured workers and trying to handle the near surcharges and trying to keep that under control as well. So my experience with that is that it's such a demanding position, it should be a full-time position on its own. And then if you need to separate that, have that one the full-time and then bring in a part-time for employment services, I was just wondering if there was any thought process to that.
Can I go directly to Mr. Jansen?
Yeah. Okay. Through you to the counselor. This I think was fairly specific coming out of the organization review, and I'm sure many staff would agree that there would be other opportunities to expand this, but this was viewed as at least the one measure of getting us closer to addressing those issues. The current part-time position is working quite directly with all the health and safety matters, and we've been quite successful with that 60% of the FTE, but moving it to 100% does move us further along. We could consider beyond that once we've adjusted to the moving those duties into that full-time, whether or not there would be other opportunities.
Thank you. I'm in support of this report. I just think that we should go one step further for that department.
Just to follow up on that, Councillor Butler, I note that the recommendation in this report is different than the recommendation in the next report, in the sense that the next report says that those recommendations should be put to council in budget committee for consideration. And I'm wondering whether this resolution shouldn't say the same thing, and that would give us some opportunity for the staff to take into consideration some of Councillor Butler's concerns.
This item was, you might be correct that the wording is not quite the same, but the intent was to refer both of them to the 2017 operating budget discussions.
So there will still be some latitude on Wednesday to discuss this, and in the meantime, Councillor Butler, you may want to follow up some of your thoughts with Mr. Jansen. Okay, does anyone else have any other questions with respect to this report? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Nutt, you have the next resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council directs staff to include additional staff resources for the Digital Services Division for consideration during the 2017 budget deliberations.
And this is with respect to report COS-01-2017.
That's correct.
Are there any questions or comments that members of Council have with respect to this report or the resolution? There being none, all those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And then the final report that we have, which relates to vendors participating in the audio and video refurbishment request or proposals. Councillor Passero, you have.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council waive Section 7.2D of the Purchasing Policy, Bylaw Number 2-10, to allow all vendors to participate in the audio and video refurbishment request for proposal.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to this report? Mr. Cook, I was wondering whether the town's lawyer had taken a look at this, whether he had any comments. There's nothing that appears in the report that would suggest one way or the other.
To Your Worship, he has not taken a look at this. This was prepared by staff. Maybe what I should maybe just relay to you is the section 7.2D, which basically says, no supplier shall be allowed to submit a bid for any bid solicitation in which the supplier has participated in the preparation of the bid solicitation. A supplier who fails to comply will be disqualified. I think it's very clear, our procurement policy, of why this report has come forward. We have asked the assistance of a supplier to help us prepare the RFP in specifying generic hardware and software. And this is for the AV system here in the council chamber. So we felt it necessary that we bring this forward and ask for council to waive that particular clause in our procurement policy. Didn't feel the need to go to the lawyer or solicitor for comments.
Is the I can appreciate that we would want to be able to rely upon expert advice in the future on RFPs, depending on what they are. Was this information that was being provided or assistance that was provided by the supplier something that we paid for, or was that being provided gratuitously?
Mr. Davis is here, and he could probably answer that better.
So the question was
Understood.
Is the assistance being provided gratuitously as part of a package, or are we paying for it?
Paying for the service.
Okay, since I've got you on the hot seat. So if we were to exclude this supplier, I suppose that would create difficulties for us in getting potential suppliers to provide us with the assistance that we would need in order to craft an RFP.
That was part of the challenge. The challenge was we only have a few local suppliers. The one that we used to help facilitate the RFP, which hasn't been done yet, was our local vendor. So he gave us, or they gave us, a reasonable price to move forward with this because they knew our system. One of the things that we discussed with the previous, this very fact that does it infringe on what we're trying to do, his recommendation was it didn't, as long as we made everything generic enough that anybody could actually apply to take on the RFP, and where there were specific instances that the equipment had to be specific to a certain vendor, that it be industry standards.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Pizzurro?
If I could, Your Worship, Mr. Lustig was present at our corporate services meeting, and he didn't raise any objections to this, and his point was similar to what Mr. Davis had mentioned, is that we've crafted it in such a way that anybody can bid and none of the items are vendor specific. So it's in my eyes, it's fair, and it kind of allows us to ensure that we get the best pricing from as many available suppliers as possible.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just to follow up on what Councillor Pizzurro said and to Mr. Davis's point, this is in private business somewhat common practice. As the company that I work for, we've done this on several times where we've assisted our current clients, and then we've gone back and bid on contracts. It's just very generic how the RFP comes out. Sometimes they don't know how to put it together. So.
Yep. Okay. Understand. Anyone else? Thank you very much, Mr. Davis and Mr. Cookett, for your advice. If there aren't any other questions, I will call the question with respect to the resolution. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to new business and inquiries, and we have a number of resolutions before we get to items that councillors may wish to raise. And Councillor Butler, you have the first resolution under new business.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council accepts the resignation of Gary O'Brien from the Ridgeway Business Improvement Area Board of Management, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I want to take the opportunity to thank Mr. O'Brien. I don't see him in the audience tonight, for his leadership and his friendship over the past 2 years. Just wanted to say that his courage in the face of adversity is admirable, and I'm sorry that he has had to step down from the position of chair of the board of directors for the RBIA, but I am excited that he will still be involved as a member of the association.
Thank you very much, Councillor Butler, and I echo your sentiments with respect to his volunteer service to the community, and he does far more than just participate in the BIA, for sure. If there are no other comments, all those in favor of the resolution? None opposed, that is carried. That then takes us to Councillor Butler for the next resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council appoints Rob Farragalli to the Ridgeway Business Improvement Area Board of Management for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments? All those, sir. Councillor Butler.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Your Worship, thank you. Just wanted to welcome Rob aboard, so thank you.
I'm sure he'll be a valuable addition. All those in favor? Now he is an addition. That is carried. Councillor Pizzurro, you have the next resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council accepts the resignation of Ernie Patterson from the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Any questions or comments? Again, we appreciate the service provided by both Mr. Patterson and the next resolution, which relates to Pat Piper. There being no questions, all those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. And Councilor Passero, you also have the next one. Because you are the sitting council member on the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, gives you something to shoot for.
They have more energy than I will ever have, I can tell you that. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Zanko, that Council accepts the resignation of Pat Piper from the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. That takes us still with Councilor Passero on the next resolution.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Zanko, that Council appoints Richard Paderak to the Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. And as part of the addendum, Councilor Lubert, you have the resolution regarding the Royal Canadian Legion request.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councilor McDermott that the $3,000 request from the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230 be included in consideration in the 2017 budget deliberations.
Are there any questions or comments about that? There being none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Do any other members of Council have any inquiries? Councilor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicop. I just wanted to comment on Mr. Smith being here earlier with the CIP for Crystal Beach. And earlier, maybe a month or 2 months ago, I spoke with Regional Councilor Nunziata. And he said, indicated to me that there may be some source of grant money from the region if we as a municipality were to identify a source of funding for an employee to work in conjunction with one of our other CIPs or secondary plans. Now, I understand that from what we're doing now is we're doing the secondary plan and for the south end of Fort Erie, basically. And then from there, we're moving to Bridgeburg. And I'm just wondering if it's possible that staff may take a look to see if there's something that we could get from the region so that when we move into the Bridgeburg project, that we could work in conjunction with that and do something in Crystal Beach. I mean, we've seen what Mr. Smith is doing down there, and it's unfortunate that he's not able to tap into the funding for the facades work that's been going down in Crystal Beach.
Staff can certainly look into that and find out whether there are financial resources available that would assist us. I'll leave that with Mr. Cookett. You can work with Mr. Brady on that.
Yes, and thank you very much. And I'm hoping that I guess they would be contacting Councilor Nunziata. He brought it up. If there is some funding there, I think, from the region, it's just that we have to identify something here.
I have a meeting tomorrow with the regional chair and CAO with Mr. Cookett, and we can raise it tomorrow. They'll be familiar with whatever the programs are or can consult their planning department with respect to that. And then Mr. Cookett will report back to council.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Any other items of new business? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. I received a note from a constituent in Crystal Beach and followed up with phone calls from several others. And it's regarding the ability for people to walk their dogs along the beach and the rules and regulations that go around that. Firstly, I don't own a dog, and secondly, you can tell by my complexion, I don't go to the beach. So this is unfamiliar territory for me. So I'm hoping that staff could provide a memo to council that just outlines those regulations. Somebody may be able to answer it tonight, but basically they're wondering why we do not allow people to walk their dogs on the beach during the winter months. It's understandable why we don't allow them during tourist season, busy beach day, your April through to September-ish type of season. But during the winter months on nice days, we do enforce a scoop-up bylaw. That's whether it's the beach or on a street, doesn't matter where it is. And as long as they're on a leash, which is the rule elsewhere, why do we still prohibit that, if we still prohibit that? But I see a lot of people in my conversations from the SPCA that this consumes a lot of their time. And when they receive a phone call from somebody living on the waterfront, they by duty have to go out and enforce the action and follow up on the concern or complaint. So I'm wondering if we can look at the possibility of people to be allowed to walk their dogs in those shoulder season months and throughout the winter time, and bring that back for council's consideration.
What is the rule, Mr. Brady? This is, they're considered parks, are they not?
To the mayor, yes, the bylaws in the town of Fort Erie do not permit the walking of dogs along the beach at the present time. They're prohibited. But if that's something that the council wants us to take a look at, we can.
I would suggest that this is something council should vote on. So, Councilor Passero, if you want to give a notice of motion with respect to that.
Yeah, if we were, that's coming up in a little bit. Or could I simply just ask for council consensus to direct staff for a report? I'm not looking to change the bylaw at this time. I'm just looking for a memo as to maybe what other municipalities do as far as the winter months and their beaches.
I think that you should do that as, by way of notice of motion. I think that it's going to be more detailed than, I think there's going to be some detail that's going to be required. And I think that council should direct staff on that.
Okay. But what am I motioning? I'm not looking to change the bylaw at this time, but you'd still like me to do it as notice of motion for a staff report?
You're looking for a report from staff with respect to what the rules are with respect to allowing dogs on the waterfront,
yes,
beaches. And what other municipalities are doing, and does staff have any recommendations as something that could be done in terms of changing our current rules with respect to the winter months, I suppose, is what you're requesting. That's your notice of motion, essentially?
Yes. So can you repeat that in 2 minutes?
Yep. Madam Clerk, did you get that?
Yeah.
Well, okay. If we need to, yeah. Anything further, Councillor Passero?
No, thank you.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I do have a couple of inquiries, and I was wondering if, through you to the CAO, if you could tell me when we are going to have a presentation with respect to an update for health services.
We just got a memo.
To Your Worship, to the Councillor, you were provided a memo earlier today, a confidential memo. Mr. Wilson, who looks after physician recruitment, has not been scheduled to do a presentation, but I spoke to him earlier today. He'd be happy to come here and do one. So I will schedule him in as early as possible. I'll check with his schedule.
Thank you. And one other question, and I just want to direct that through you, Your Worship, to Mr. Walsh with respect to the, I know that it's been kind of a mild winter after that one big snowfall, but some of the merchants at the Ridgeway BIA downtown core have been inquiring with respect to how we're going to handle the snow buildups, the banks on the streets. And I was down there myself at Christmas time. It was very difficult to get in and out of the shops because there wasn't really entrance with the exception of side streets to get onto those sidewalks. So is there something that we can do to benefit the merchants and also the people that are coming to shop there?
Mr. Walsh.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. If I understand the question correctly, you're concerned about snowbanks when it does accumulate?
Yes, because there is no pathway to enter onto the sidewalks to get to the merchants.
Okay. Typically, our operation is to plow the snow off to into a windrow adjacent to the road. When the snow builds up to a height of 1 meter or so, we undertake removal operations. But prior to that, there is no further action.
You might want to reconsider that, because for business areas, 1 meter is quite high. And what happens, and it was, we did have a lot of snow in a very short period of time, and the downtown areas were quite clogged with snow, which then melted and turned into ice, which made it even more treacherous. So I wonder if you could perhaps provide council with the memo as to exactly what the regulation is now.
I can do that, but it's identified in the winter control plan. So
we haven't been checking our winter control plan because it's been so mild.
Our thaw control plan. It is identified in there, but I'll update council exactly on what the statement is and our typical operations. Snow, I would like to add that removal in the BIA areas is paid for through their special assessment. So if there's a change in level of service, it will result in a new assessment.
That would be helpful if you could let us know what their assessments are too. Give us that little
note.
Great, thank you. Anything further, Councillor Butler?
No, thank you very much.
Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. In the past couple months, we received some correspondence with some residents in the Ridgeway by the Lake area and that neighborhood. And the people were basically were requesting that we put an additional street light at the corner of Thunder Bay Road and Ridge Road. And the memo that we got and the emails that we received from staff was that it would be brought up at the transportation committee meetings. And I'm just wondering if any meetings have transpired yet. If not, is there a meeting scheduled and when the meeting would be scheduled so we could give these people an update on where we're at?
Did you say Thunder Bay Road and?
Ridge.
Ridge or Prospect?
Ridge.
Mr. Waltz.
I believe that's where it was, right?
I'm just wondering. I thought there was a light there, but Mr. Waltz may have something.
For you, Mr. Mayor, we do have a number of requests via email for additional lighting. There is a light there right now. It has been referred to the Transportation Coordinating Committee. We'll look at it through that. Although we don't have a meeting scheduled right now, we are looking at the 1st of March or so to get our ducks in a row for spring traffic counts and traffic issues.
And there is a council representative on that committee. Is it Councillor Zanker?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Councillor Lubberts?
Okay, thank you. That's all I was looking for, just to see when the meeting was going to take place so that if anybody inquires, we'll know that sometime in March we'll have an answer as to if we'll move forward with it or not. Thank you.
Okay, before I go back to Councillor Butler, any other councillors that haven't raised any inquiries yet? Okay, back to you, Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I agree with Councillor Lubberts. It is a dark area there. There is that one light, but it is very dark. But my inquiry is with respect to Bernard Road, because there was some work that was, and through you to Mr. Walsh, there was some work that was going to be done on that road up to Dominion. And I'm just wondering, has that been completed?
This is the drainage work?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Nothing rings a bell right now through you, Mr. Mayor.
Drainage work that involved the trail, and then there was supposed to be some work done, I think, north to Dominion Road.
Yes, sorry. The capital program, Thunder Bay Drainage Works Phase 3 and 4, is underway right now. There'll be completion in the spring. Further, there's work done on the Friendship Trail from Bernard Easterly to about Neva. North of the trail to Dominion Road, there are no works planned.
Thank you. I was just inquiring. I kind of knew that answer, but I just wanted to make sure that it had not been completed. I was speaking with a constituent while I was on vacation last week, and he was experiencing extreme flooding, and I did reassure him that it would be taken care of by spring, fall this
year.
Can you
provide the address to Mr. Walsh after the meeting so that he can target that?
Sure.
Thank you. Any other inquiries? There being none, then that takes us to motions, of which there are none. That takes us to notices of motion. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. So per our previous discussion not long ago, looking for staff to provide some information regarding best practice in other municipalities and recommendations to relax our bylaw as far as the walking of dogs during winter months, and some information that we could go on for council. And I just want to be clear, since we're in a notice of motion now, am I now looking at waiting 2 weeks before this comes back to council for yes or no? Because normally we would do this under new business through a vote of council just to request a report. I don't want people to be confused that when they see this come back in 2 weeks that we're actually looking to change the bylaw at that time. I'm just looking for a staff report.
Right. Right, it would be 2 weeks.
So could I ask that we waive then the procedural bylaw?
You can move that we waive the procedural bylaw.
If somebody would be willing to second that for me. If we could waive the procedural bylaw to allow the notice of motion to be heard tonight.
Okay, are there any questions or comments about that? All those in favor of waiving the procedural bylaws? Okay, that's carried. Councillor Passero. So this would be a motion that we'll deal with this evening.
Yes, thank you.
This is a request for a report.
Yes, please.
I know that I had articulated it before. Councillor, I had weighty matters to consider between then and now. Madam Clerk, do you have the gist of what I had? The gist is basically that we're seeking a report from staff with respect to the current regulation regarding dogs on the beach or waterfront. Some information relative to what other municipalities do, and a recommendation from staff with respect to changes to that policy during the winter or shoulder seasons. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that clear? Well, it's long, but that encompasses what it is we're looking for from staff, so that they're clear on what it is. If there aren't any other questions or comments, all those in favor of the motion, that is carried.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Are there any notices of motion this evening, Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to give notice that I will be bringing a motion with respect to sending a letter to the federal government regarding taxing employers' contributions to group health benefit plans, as it will diminish the opportunity to provide further employment to other individuals. Currently, group health benefits is taxed provincially. The federal government is looking to tax employers their portion, which will in excess give them over $2 billion worth of tax benefits.
You're talking putting HST in?
Yes, the full amount, so it would be a 7% federal tax.
Right, okay. And when you do that, can you give us a little bit of background information?
Yes, I absolutely will. I'll send a memorandum beforehand.
That would be great.
Okay.
That would be great. Or you could give it to the clerk and she can circulate it. Okay. Any other notices of motion? There being none, that takes us then to consideration of bylaws. And are there any bylaws that anyone wishes removed from the package? Not. Councillor Zanko gets the first and second reading.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw package containing 3-2017 to provide for interim taxes for the year 2017, 4-2017 to authorize the mayor or acting mayor and the treasurer or deputy treasurer of the corporation of the Town of Fort Erie to borrow certain sums to meet expenses for the year of 2017. 5-2017 to adopt the 2017 water wastewater budget, to adopt rates and fees for the year 2017, and to repeal bylaw number 240-96, 6-2017, to exempt certain lots in Plan 59M-390 from part lot control Village Creek Subdivision Phase 2, 3973 and 3977 Village Creek Drive, 800547 Ontario Limited, Ed Lichtishin, 7-2017 to authorize the entry into and execution of a letter of agreement with Her Majesty the Queen in the right of the Province of Ontario, represented by the Minister of Transportation under the dedicated tax gas tax fund for public transportation program. 8-2017 to authorize the entry into an encroachment agreement with the owner of 36 Concession Road and Smith Street Road Allowance, Annunziata. 9-2017 to authorize the entry and execution of a collaboration agreement with the Niagara Parks Commission to facilitate a transfer payment agreement with the Ministry of Transportation under the Ontario Municipal Cycling Infrastructure Program for the Niagara River Recreational Trail Riverwalk to Bridgeburg Project. 10-2017 to authorize the entry into and execution of transfer payment agreement with Her Majesty the Queen in the right of Ontario as represented by the Minister of Transportation under the Ontario Municipal Cycling Infrastructure Program. 11-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90, Crystal Beach Infill Amendment. 12-2017 to amend bylaw number 129-90, Recreational Vehicles. 13-2017 to enact an amendment to the official plan adopted by bylaw number 150-06 for the Town of Fort Erie Planning Area, Amendment number 33, Parking Requirements, Town of Fort Erie. 14-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90, Downtown Residential Parking Strategy. 15-2017 to amend fees and charges bylaw number 40-09 as amended in the 2017 review is given first and second reading.
Thank you. All those in favor? That bylaw package is on the floor for questions or comments. Questions?
Thank you, Your Worship. A very quick comment regarding 9-2017 and 10-2017. I'm excited to see this project get underway, the Niagara River Recreational Trail, closing in that gap, Riverwalk to Bridgeburg, and I want to thank my colleagues for supporting those dollars in last year's budget to make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jansen, with respect to bylaw number 4, which is the one that authorizes borrowing, do we anticipate borrowing money this year?
We do not.
And so this is simply a matter of, in the event something were to occur, then we've got this availability. In the past, when there has been money borrowed, has there been any consideration given to the town borrowing from any of its own reserves and whatever interest would have to be paid to a bank to ourselves?
Not in my experience have we done that. I don't know. I think it's, I have no recollection or I haven't seen history of us ever using this. This is really intended to be an interim measure that would allow us if there were to be an emergency, but you're quite correct. We could reallocate operating funds or reserve funds for emergency needs.
This is simply a matter of prudence in the event there weren't any other alternatives available to us.
That's correct.
Thank you. And then the other question I had, and not sure who to direct this to, but in bylaw, the memorandum that accompanied bylaw 6-2017 with respect to the Village Creek subdivision suggested that it's easier to bring this bylaw after construction has already started on the duplex buildings. And I find that a little surprising. Who can respond to that?
I can respond to that.
Thank you, Mr. Brady.
One of the important considerations in when we reestablish the part lot control is that it be fixed in the exact right location. And we do this with townhouses as well as with duplexes, so that the no matter, it's been my experience, no matter how accurate surveyors try to be in terms of locating lot lines and which fall through buildings, like this lot line will fall right through the building, it's much better to have the wall in place and identify that lot line as opposed to try to put the wall in place on a lot line. That's the genesis of that comment.
Just for clarification then, the actual application by the developer, does that occur while construction is underway after the foundation and the wall that you've referred to has been put up? Or is the application made when the construction is complete?
The timing of the application is up to the developer. We encourage the developer to bring in the application when they're confident that they the wall in question is fixed. That can be fixed sometimes through the basement, through the foundation, but it's best fixed when the wall is actually up.
And our ability to monitor this really rests in the building permit inspections and our right to withhold an occupancy permit unless there's been proper planning approvals obtained.
I guess we have more than sufficient controls to ensure that that occurs.
Great. Thank you very much. If there aren't any other questions, then I'll go to Councillor Nutt, who has the streamlined version of.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that bylaws 3-2017, 4-2017, 5-2017, 6-2017, 7-2017, 8-2017, 9-2017, 10-2017, 11-2017, 12-2017, 13-2017, 14-2017, 15-2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? There being none, all those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Are there any meetings that we need to be aware of? If none, then Councillor McDermott, you have a resolution for us to move into closed session to deal with a land matter.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler. The Council.
I guess Councillor Butler can move that we go into closed session. Maybe Councillor Lewitz could second it. Maybe Councillor Lewitz could second it.
Yeah. Councillor Lewitz. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Lubbers, the Council does now go into closed session at 7:33 to discuss the following. A, property matter pursuant to Section 239-2C of the Municipal Act 2001, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality or a local board, reacceptance of offer to purchase part of the Princeton Avenue unopened road allowance plan 447.
Are there any questions or comments about going into closed session? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler's declaration noted. Call this meeting back to order. So we've got the clerk. Okay, Councillor Nutt, you have the resolution for us rising out of closed session.
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, the Council does now rise and reconvene from closed session at 7:40 p.m. with the following report. The Council authorizes the acceptance of an offer to purchase part of Princeton Avenue unopened road allowance, Plan 447 Birdie on the west side of Buffalo Road, formerly Princess Drive, from VJR Custom Homes Limited for the amount of $60,000 plus HST, and further, the Council authorizes and directs the Town Solicitor in his absence, the Chief Administrative Officer, or his designate, to execute the agreement of purchase and sale and all other documents required to complete the transaction.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. That then takes us to the confirmatory bylaw, and Councillor Butler, you have the resolution for first and second reading.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 16-2017 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on January 23, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. And for final reading, we have Councillor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 16-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. Now, I don't know who's got the final resolution, but I'm going to speculate. Oh, look at that. Surprise, surprise. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council adjourns at 7:42 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on February 13th, 2017.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is unanimous. Thank you.